The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m., and if you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
If you have the opportunity, I saw something on TV this morning as I was getting dressed. David Jeremiah, one of my favorite preachers from California, of all places. Can anything good come out of California? You know, and yes, it can. David Jeremiah, and he had a special program called Christmas on Broadway, and it is amazing production. It was on for 30 minutes this morning. There may be more to it than we saw on TV. I'm not sure. But if you have the opportunity and you see it on your TV, you will enjoy it. They had some beautiful songs and just amazing. You just have to, if you get a chance, just watch it. You will be blessed, okay? But in the meantime, let's see if we can get blessed right here at New Beginnings Church. You know, Miss Becky, in our worship team several weeks ago, said that we needed to get the wonder of Christmas again. And Becky, I just can't tell you how that word has changed my life this year. You know, usually I go through the humdrum of Christmas, just waiting for things to hurry up, get over with, so I can get on with my life. And this has been the best Christmas I can remember and forever. It's just been amazing because through that one word of exhortation from Miss Becky, the wonder of all. And I've just been enamored with it. And I changed the whole direction of where I was going to be preaching about because of that, that the wonder of this child. We need to get back to be children again when it comes to God. He said, unless we come to him like little children, we wouldn't even get in the kingdom. And children believe the wonder of things, and they enjoy the glory of things that adults we lose. And the older we get, we sometimes forget the wonder of things. That's what we've been talking about, how the baby Jesus makes us unique in the wonder and glory of knowing him. And we've talked about it for the past 2 weeks. And today we're going to continue in this series and how the baby Jesus makes us so unique. And I want to read to you from the book of Isaiah. Amazing that Ms. Pat would read. Becky actually asked her to read it. I think Becky's taking over the church here. She said, asked Pat to read this, and I leaned over to Pat and said, well, that's amazing, because that's the text for today's sermon. From Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. You know, Christmas tends to be a time where we have a lot of contradictions. Everything seems to be filled with contradictions from news media, from our lives, from just things that take place that cause us to scratch our heads sometimes and wonder who's leading the parade. I read where two women stopped in front of yet another store window at Christmas. In the midst of all the merchandise was a nativity scene. One woman remarked to the other, well, what do you know? Even the church is trying to horn in on Christmas. you know, just think about that for a minute. And it was a similar situation, another woman's attitude, when she complained, most of the Christmas songs were just distressingly theological. You know, and that's the world that has crept into what we call this Christmas time, this time of wonder, the time that changed everything. It even changed the calendar, where we have we mark things before Christ and things after Christ. So the contradictions are that there's peace on earth, but it seems to be an earth filled with worry. We talk about a mighty miracle baby that was born, but we seem to be focusing on things of an overweight man in a red suit. You know, we talk about the amazing gifts in a manger, and we surround ourselves with presents that have little or no value to us at all. They're given today and forgotten tomorrow. But the wonder of it is that there is peace on earth for those who believe. My dad told me when he came to the Lord in his 60s, and he told me one day, I had never seen my dad weep or cry in my entire life. He wasn't that kind of a guy. He wasn't a warm, touchy-feely person. But after he came to Christ, he began to change. And one day we were going to church, and Dad was crying. And I said, Dad, what are you crying about? And he said, I'm just so happy. He said, I have such peace. He said, you know, Morris, if you didn't get anything but peace from knowing Jesus, that would be enough. That would be enough. No wonder the angel said, peace on earth. We need peace in our hearts and in our lives. We need to focus that on this Christ child. You know, I mentioned last week that everybody loves a baby. If you don't love a baby, you know, I don't know what you're doing on the planet. I mean, you got to love babies. I mean, just to see them and to hold them and to touch them, just an incredible emotion that wells up within us. And no wonder God wanted to introduce himself, not as the God who thunders in the hills and not as a God who casts the stars in place, but as a God who would come as a baby. Everybody loves a baby. And people came to see the Christ child. And it's a gift that keeps on giving. It never, if you let it, it'll be with you, as you said, Miss Rose, every day. Every day. And it's great to know our Savior died on the cross, and it's great to know the resurrection, and I'm all for that. For without that, it doesn't mean anything. But we just need to remember the innocence and the sweetness of a little child who laid in his mother's arms, and is that new song of late that's come about. Well, it's Mary, did you know? And I love the line in the song. It says, Mary, did you know when you kissed your little baby, you kissed the face of God? Oh, I think every time we kiss a little baby, we kiss the face of God. Something special about it. There's something inside of us. And so what I suggest is that we imagine the wonder and the greatness of Jesus and who he is and what he does in our lives and his glory and his wonder. Our mission today is to unpack the glory of God, the manger scene, the Christmas prophecy about this Christ child. You know, as I prayed this morning, it always astounds me that of all the prophets in the Old Testament, it's filled with prophets who spoke in so many different and various ways, that God closed the spigot and there was no word from God. Now, let me tell you, those who calculate these things, and I'm not one of them, said it was about 450 years that it was not a prophet in the land. There was no word from God. Now, how long is 450 years? Well, let me help you understand that. We celebrate America and the birth of our nation on July 4th. That was only less than 250 years ago. So if you want to go back 450 years ago, that would be a long, long ways back on the calendar. I mean, we're talking about the pilgrims in little boats coming here to this fledgling country of America. I mean, you got to go really way back. And you know, I don't know if you're like me, but if I don't hear a word from God every week, I'm crying. You know, God, where are you? You know, how come it's so dry out here in the desert of my life? You know, I just want to hear from God. But imagine not hearing from God for a year or 2 years or a decade or a century. Of 450 years, nothing from God. And that was the situation that they were in. There was nothing from God. And then suddenly, God was here. And suddenly, the word began to flow. And it's flowed, Jesus referred to himself as like a river of living water. He said you could drink of this living water, of a well that never runs dry, that continues to fill us day by day. And so that we have the joy every day of knowing God and knowing the Christ child. So, the first thing I want to talk to you about is how the baby Jesus makes us unique. Is Christmas is when God sends his love to the world. And let's go back and look at this scripture. For unto us a child is born, for us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. Can I get an amen? Aren't you glad that that's the government we can depend on? The government of God? You know, instead of depending on the wisdom of Washington, D.C. Every day we get more and more frustrated with what goes on up there. You know, but the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called a wonderful counselor, a mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. As much as I've just emphasized the Christ child, he's more than what he appears to be. He's more than a baby. He's more than just an innocent child. He is God incarnate. The God who created the heavens and the earth. The God who spoke when there was nothing. And scientists today are still scratching their heads trying to figure out how big this universe is. And they believe it's still expanding. That I heard the other day that they think that it's some 38 billion years old. Now, I don't know how old that is, but that's old, all right? That's pretty old. And that it's moving at a rapid pace. We seem to feel rather stable on this little planet, but we're spinning around at a fantastic rate of speed, that we're spinning around the sun at a phenomenal speed. The whole solar system is rushing through space at a measure they can't even define. And we talk about space in terms of light years, light that goes 186,000 miles per second. And we're talking in light years, that the distance to stars, and I'm telling you, the God who created all that came down to this place called Earth to live among us. Beloved, that's a miracle. Amen. That is big. That is something that ought to get us thinking about what's going on Christmas. The reason we're here today, dressed in our Christmas colors, George, we ought to hang you in a window, man. I'm telling you, I thought I was dressed up. George made me look pale. I love that outfit on George today. He looks great. Well, we're here wishing people a Merry Christmas is because Mary gave birth to the Christ. And Jesus is everything we need to be joyful and happy and have peace. There is no other reason for happiness and joy and peace. If you don't know Jesus, you're in trouble. And there's no reason for you to be happy. There's no reason for you to have peace. You'll have turmoil all the days of your life. And when you leave this life, it'll be beyond measure the torment that you will suffer. But in Christ alone, we find peace in Jesus. Our founding fathers, who I love to talk about, they recognize that everything we have comes from God. And they said, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. That means the government didn't give us these rights, and the government can't take them away. These are given to us by our Creator, and among them are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. In the Christ child, we find life, eternal life, with him to all who bow down and worship like the shepherds and like the Magi did. It's in the Christ child that we find true liberty. Freedom because he came to set captives free. That's what he said he did. One of the first things he spoke about when he went to the temple, He said, I've come to set captives free. Are you bound up today? Are you worried today? Is this life got a hold on you and you can't seem to ever break out into the dawn of a happy day? The only way you'll get into the dawn of a happy day is in the liberty and the freedom that Jesus Christ brings to each one of us. That's why he came. In the Christ child, we find true happiness. This world has got every trinket on the planet to make us happy. And many of you have bought some of those trinkets. I know I have my share of them. But they're only trinkets that last for a while. It's like the old joke, and it said this very wealthy man died, and this young boy said, well, when he died, how much did he leave behind? And his dad said he left everything behind. You can't take your Ferrari, you can't take your diamond rings, you can't take your Chevy, you can't take your Buick, you can't take your nice clothes. George, thankfully you can't take that coat and tie. You know, you can't, it's all staying here, but the only thing that you can take from this planet is your faith in Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that will go with you. And what he can do inside of us, that's who he is, that's what he came to do. Jesus reigns over the only kingdom that cannot fail. The great kingdoms of this earth have disappeared and they're just relics. You want to see the great kingdom of Egypt? And all you'll see that's left of all the pharaohs is a couple of crumbling pyramids. That's all that's left. Rome, you can go look at what's left of it. The Colosseum is just, it's held together by bubblegum and baling wires. I mean, even the Leaning Tower of Pisa, you know, they're trying to straighten that baby up. You know, but I don't know. I wouldn't walk on the other short side of it if I were you. You never know when it just might come down. The mighty Soviet Union in our lifetime, we saw that fall. They've all fallen, but the kingdom of God stands, and his banner over us is love, and it's still waving. Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's only light? You know, that our flag was still there? Well, honey, I'm glad the American flag is still waving, but I'm more happy that the banner of God is still waving, and his banner over us is love, and it's not coming down. I don't know about the United States. I hope it never comes down, but I know that God's banner will never fail. We rejoice at Christmas because he is a wonderful counselor in all of life. I don't know about you, but I need counseling. I do. And the only place I found any counsel that worked for me was in the Scriptures and in God. That's the only thing that's ever worked in my life. You know, and I've studied enough. I have enough college education and psychology and things like of that sort that I studied. And I discovered that most of the psychologists need counseling. You know, it's not working for them. If you've ever been to a worldly psychiatrist or a psychologist, you'll find out nothing works. And when nothing works and they can't give you enough wisdom, you know what they'll do? They'll give you drugs. You know? And just keep you drugged out enough that you can cope with this world. But I'm telling you that the counsel that we need is found within the covers of this old book. And this old book tells us about Jesus Christ, and he can help us through every day. He can give us the peace that no one else can give. He is the love of God. His love is mighty to deliver us from all of our enemies. There's a devil on your trail. He'll be on your trail. He'll track you down. He'll knock you down. And the only hope you've got is the power of God that comes in the Christ child. It says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every lofty thing that lifts itself above the knowledge of God. We don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but with powers and principalities and rulers in high places. And you will never defeat the enemy, not this world, not the philosophy of this world, unless you use the name of Jesus and the peace of God. Let it rule and reign within your life. His love is everlasting because it never fails. I know that some of you in this room have had disappointments in life. People quit loving you. You quit loving people. You've been disappointed. People that you trusted in disappointed you. Might have been your parents. It might have been brothers, sisters. you know, husbands, wives, children, all of those things will disappoint you. But I'm telling you that His love never fails. One of my favorite scriptures in Romans chapter 8, it says, what will separate us from the love of God? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? It said, no, in all these things in this earth, we're like sheep to the slaughter. But I am persuaded that neither life nor death nor principalities nor powers nor of any earthly thing, not life, not death, can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God loves us and He will not stop it. That is a river, that is a banner, that is a word from God that will take us through the troubles of life. That's who God is. He is an everlasting love, and He is the fountain of peace because He is the Prince of Peace. And He can give you peace where no one else can give you peace. He can give you that place where the shepherd takes the sheep, where the still waters flow, where the grass is green, where the shepherd watches over the sheep. That's you. That's a picture of God watching over you and caring for you. I'm telling you, if I quit preaching right there, you ought to be shouting. I mean that ought to, if you can't get your shouter working, it's broke. I mean, this is good news. This is what Christmas is all about. This is a culmination of the Christ child giving us a life. Come on now, this life isn't working for us. Is it working for you? You got it going 100%? And the scriptures say there's a way that seems right to a man, a woman, boy, or girl. And it says that the ways of that thinking are the ways of death. It's the ways of the world. And it doesn't work for us. Why do you think St. Tammany Parish, one of the most prosperous parishes in the state of Louisiana, has one of the highest suicide rates anywhere? Because they can't find any peace. People can't find peace. And they believe a lie that if they just kill themselves, they'll be all right. And that won't work. And there's a chaplain, and Bob is a chaplain, Denise is a chaplain, and Pat, and the chaplain's corps, there are about 40 of us that go out every time somebody dies in our parish. And the suicide rate, drug overdose, is crazy. And they don't know why. They don't know how to fix it. And I'm telling you, the only way it's going to get fixed is in Jesus Christ. Oh, well, Pastor, you're just too narrow-minded. You know, I'm going to ask this question. How's it working for you? How's it working for St. Tammany? How's it working for people? It's not working. And at this time of year, more than any other time of year, people are depressed and rejected because they don't have the peace of the Christ child. If you want to give somebody a gift this year, you want to give somebody a gift, tell them about Jesus. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them about what He can do, what He's done in your life. And if you don't have any peace in your life and you have Christ in your life, you need to rethink what's going on. You got to think about, you know, started off saying, back to the wonder of it all. What's the wonder? Where's the wonder of God in your life? Is it just something we do on Sunday morning when we go to church? It's just something, is the Bible just something you pass by? Somebody, a preacher told somebody was having problems in their life. He said, go to your house, pick up the dirtiest book you can find, and read it. He said, Pastor, what are you talking about? He said, I'm talking about your Bible. It's probably full of dirt and dust because you haven't used it in so long. Just pick it up and read it. I mean, it's in the covers of this book that we find Christ's story that can encourage us. Come on now, I'm preaching to myself, and I'm preaching to you, I'm preaching to the choir, you know, maybe I'm preaching to you, you know. And maybe what's wrong is you just need a good dose of the work of the living water of the Word of God to encourage you. You know, when life really crashes in on you, I'm going to tell you the best place to go. Go read the Psalms. They're filled with life, and they're filled with hope. David was a man just like us. And he was a man after God's own heart. And David wrote for us how he felt sometimes when he was down and dejected and his enemies were triumphing over him. But in every psalm, when he talks about the horrors of life and the pressures of life, he always ends up, he said, but God. And he talks about the glory of God and the wonder of God, and it encourages him. So, Another way that the baby Jesus makes us unique and changes us is Christmas is when God establishes his love in the world. Back to Isaiah 9, verse 7. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. Everybody say, there will be no end. There will be no end. He will reign on David's throne. You know, they're still talking about David today over in Israel. They got the King David Hotel. They got King David's flag flying all over the place. I mean, David is an icon if you go to Israel. And it said he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and until David dies, or until your parents die, or until you die. No, he says in forever. He'll establish forever. This is not the government of the people, by the people, and for the people that Abraham Lincoln spoke about at his Gettysburg Address. This is the government established, and it's established of God, by God, and for God. And all say, thank God. You know, thank God. And that's the government and the kingdom we serve. We are subject to the king. We have dual citizenship. We have citizenship in America if you're an American citizen. But even more importantly, we have citizenship in the kingdom of God if you're a child of God. The government is established by God. The Christmas government is established of God, and it will never end. There's nothing that can stop the reign and the rule of God. It'll be here when every kingdom ever known to man will disappear off the planet. When they won't even remember, if the Lord doesn't come back and this world spins long enough, they'll look back in a history book and say, what was the name of that place? It had a couple of names. I think they called it America or the United States. I heard about that in a history book one time. But if they ever get to that stage, I want you to know that this old book and the story of God and the kingdom of God will still be here. It'll still be ruling and reigning, and people will still be celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. The Christmas government is established by God, and evil will not overcome it. There's no evil in this world that can overcome the kingdom of God. I know you get frustrated. I know you wring your hands and say, what could happen next? We just can't imagine some of the things that are happening in our world. But I want you to know that the evil of this world will not overcome the kingdom of God. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken, in order that which can't be shaken will not be shaken. And that which cannot be shaken is the kingdom of God. Listen, beloved, God didn't wake up this morning and say, oh, what are we going to do now? He didn't wake up worried about you. He didn't wake up worried about this earth. He didn't wake up wondering whether or not the stars were going to fall out of the sky. If he did wake up, which that's impossible to do because he's the everlasting God who never slumbers or sleeps, but we need to know and take comfort and solace in the fact that God is not upset and he is not out of control. He established it and evil will not overtake it. The Christmas government is established for God, so his family will have an eternal home. You know what? Last time I counted, the people who die on this planet is still at 100%. So if you think you're going to get out of here without going through the graveyard, you got another thing coming. Now, I know you theologians have said, oh, well, wait a minute, Pastor. What about the rapture? We're going to get raptured out of here. Well, I hope you do, and I hope I'm with you, but I wouldn't be betting on that. You know? That's not where I'd be putting my money, believing that that's the way out of here. But I'm telling you that when you leave this place, there is a place that God has prepared for you that even Paul, when he got a look of it, he said, I've seen things that it's not lawful for a man to even utter. We see, if you read the book of Revelation, you see some things. It talks about walls built of precious stones. Some of you ladies got diamonds. I mean, that diamond wouldn't choke a mosquito, you know? But they got walls made out of diamonds. Everybody's on the TV trying to tell us all the time, we need to buy gold, we need to buy gold. And I'm not opposed to buying gold if you can. You just buy something. It'd be nice to have it in your sock under your bed somewhere. But when you get to heaven, they'll have streets made out of gold. So you get an idea that heaven is a great place to be. It's a place that's filled with many dwelling places. The King James Version says, a place filled with mansions. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. Now, I tell you, I don't know what kind of house you live in today. You might live in a teeny tiny house. You may live in a matchbox. You may be living in an automobile. You may be living in a mansion. It doesn't matter. But compared to the place that God has prepared for you, there is no comparison. And that's what the Christ child came to do, is to prepare this place so that when you and I check out, we got someplace to go. You know, I love to travel. Thank you, brother. Thank you, Charles. I appreciate somebody's listening here. You're getting some amens out of all right. I'm telling you, you got someplace to go where rust and moss won't bring it down. You know, you can build a new house. I built a new house about 10 years ago. Things break. It's so aggravating. Look at that something breaks. It's brand new. It ought not be breaking. It's only 10 years old. Got to put a new air conditioner in this year. You know, air conditioners used to last 15 years. Now they last 10 years. The next one I'll buy probably lasts 5 years. I don't know. But the house that God has prepared for us, the dwelling place, will never end. But you know, a house without people in it is an empty vacuum. In heaven, without Christ, would be nothing. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. What? That where I am, there you may be also. The whole plan of this thing is that you can be with him forever and ever. The thief on the cross, he said, will you remember me when you come into your kingdom? Talking about the kingdom, there he is. He's just an illegitimate Jewish boy being hung on a cross for crimes he didn't commit. And this guy said, when you come into your kingdom, would you remember me? And Jesus said, what? Today you will be where? With me. Today you will be with me in paradise. He didn't say you're going to go to paradise and be by yourself. You're going to be in paradise with me. That's what it's all about. God wants to dwell with you, in you, for all eternity. Come on now. That's the Christmas story. That's, you know, if we keep trying to sell some brand of Christianity that's got no hope in it, Judy, we're wasting our time. No wonder the churches are empty. Who wants to go here? They'll just go join the Moose Club or the Goose Club or some other kind of club. You know, go be a socialite. But if we'll tell people about this God, this Christ, who can change your life and give you joy and give you a sense of well-being, we might get some people believing. Because, you know, people are miserable. I know most of you in this room, and I'm not going to share your testimony, but none of you came to the Lord because everything was going so good. You found out this world wasn't working for you. It didn't work. And because it didn't work, you found something that would work. Bob and Denise watching a rerun, my God, of Billy Graham on TV. And they turned their life over to Christ. I mean, how crazy is that? The gospel works with a rerun. I hope you're saving all my sermons so I can keep playing them for eternity. You know, people can hear them. Somebody will get excited about God and have their life changed. This kingdom is amazing, and this place we live in is not amazing. It's very disappointing. But God devised a place where we could have an eternal home. The world and its evil established laws that we can't live with. And I don't want to go through it all, but they say you can't read the Bible and you can't pray in school. No wonder our kids don't go to church. No wonder they've got a miserable life, because nobody told them the truth. You know, and at Grace Church, I know we're not into the law and all that. And it's, you know, they talk about, we don't need to have the Ten Commandments hanging on the wall anymore. I tell you what, subliminally, it'll get through them and make their life better. If nothing else, just to know, thou shalt not. You know, there's something about the thou shalt not will make you think, well, maybe I should not. And then if you do what you shouldn't do, so you become a knothead, then you have to find out that something can fix you, and that'd be Jesus Christ, and change your life. I mean, it just all kind of works together. The law was designed to lead us to Christ. But we won't even let our kids pray in school. You know, we can't have activity scene on government property. Come on, give me a break. If it wasn't for the activity scene, we wouldn't have any government property. The only prosperity America's enjoying is the fact that it's been established on the Word of God. It's been established by men and women of God who believed in God. What do you think the pilgrims came over here for? They were trying to set up a place where they could worship God in freedom. That's why they came. That's what this place was established on the Word of God. I don't have to tell you about what's going on in our world. You know what's going on in our world. But I want to tell you what the Christmas promises are. Just and right forever. Forgiveness will always be available. I don't know of anybody. I don't know. Maybe if you know somebody, you let me know, because I never met them. I never met anybody who said that they went to Christ and said, Lord, will you forgive me? And he said no. I haven't heard about it. Have you? I never heard of that. I never heard anybody who went to God and said, you know, well, I did this, and I'm hopeless and helpless. Would you please forgive me? And he said, nope, that was too big. Too bad. No, sorry. Well, I've committed the unpardonable sin. Let me explain something to you about the unpardonable sin. I didn't plan on going here, but I'm going to bring, since I brought the subject up. You know the only unpardonable sin? There's only one. And if you can say, I think I committed the unpardonable sin, you didn't do it. Because the only unpardonable sin is to die without Christ. You die as an unbeliever, honey, there's no more forgiveness for you. But as long as you're still breathing, there's air in your lungs, you can cry out to God. It doesn't matter what you've done. And he says, I forgive you. You know how he says it? At Calvary's tree. That he became sin for you. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He knew we were a bunch of knuckleheads. He knew that we didn't have our brains right. But he said, Father, forgive them anyway. And that's what Jesus is all about, forgiveness. Forgiveness is always available in the kingdom. Faith will always be in God alone. You can't have faith in something else. You can't have Jesus in something else. I believe in Jesus, but I'm going to do this. No, there's no buts in the kingdom, all right? It's Jesus Christ and faith in him alone. Hope will never be hopelessness in the kingdom. You'll be disappointed in this world. Everybody's got disappointments. Everybody's got disappointments. But I've never been disappointed in God. Now, I've questioned him occasionally. I've questioned him. Every once in a while, I say, God, are you sure you know what you're doing? You know, I have. I mean, I'm just being honest with you. You know, I just wonder sometimes if he knows what he's doing. But the book keeps telling me, have hope in God. Have trust in him. Believe in him. Trust in him. And he will direct your path. The steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. He said his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. You know what that means? It doesn't mean much to us today because we don't have this thing. But if you were carrying an old lantern, an old light, and it was at night, that light would be just enough for you to see where to put your next step. And it'd give you a vague idea as it lights ahead of you what the pathway may be, all right? But you can't always see it clearly. You can't always see every place you're going in life. You can't always see it. But you can see the next step. God will give you the next step. You don't know what to do? Ask him to give you the next step. He'll show you what to do. And even if you don't know, say, well, I don't know whether I should step out on the water like Peter. Just put your foot out. God will honor your faith. You put your faith in him, God will honor your faith. Hope is never hopeless. And love triumphs over hate. The Christmas baby is first and last. He's the beginning and the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the King of Kings and he's the Lord of Lords forever and forever. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Let me get my little thing around here the right way. Christmas is when God's zeal is his love for the world. Last part of this scripture, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Wow. The zeal of the Lord will accomplish. He didn't say you will accomplish it. He said he will accomplish it. His zeal. The zeal of God will accomplish all the purposes that he has in plan for you. He'll get it done, as they say. His zeal is his everlasting, fervent, flaming love. And it will move him to accomplish it. This is the zeal that you see in the Song of Solomon, if you go read it, when you see him pursue the Shulamite maiden. I just read it. I did a little speed reading through it this morning before I came. Just go read the Song of Solomon. You want to read a good book? I'll tell you what, it's amazing. The love, and it's a picture of Christ in the church. That's what it's a picture of. God's zeal pursuing the love of the fair maiden. That's how God pursues us. This zeal is seen in David's determination to destroy Goliath. I don't care how big you are, you big ugly thing. Today the birds will be eating your eyes, and I'm going to cut you down. Well, who are you, you little skinny runt? Get out of here! Ha! Said the God that I serve, the one who delivered me from the paw of the bear and the mouth of the lion, will deliver me from you this day. And David got his slingshot, took after that guy, knocked him out, cut his head off, and the whole victory was won that day. That's the zeal of the Lord. That's God's zeal being demonstrated. God's not afraid, and God's not worried, and God is able to take care of all of the situations and all the Goliaths that come against us. This zeal is a Christ child born in Bethlehem, waiting for eternity, it seemed like, until finally the baby came. The prophets of old said, he's coming, he's coming. He's going to be like this. In fact, he's going to be born in Bethlehem. He's coming. He's coming. What we're reading today, Isaiah, hundreds of years before it took place. He's coming. He's coming. And on Christmas Day, guess what? He came. You know what? He's still here. The Spirit of Christ is still here today. The child born in Bethlehem is the zeal of God. The zeal of God is seen in Christ in the cross, who no man could take his life from him, but he willingly became sin, gave his life, died a horrible death, so that you and I could be free from our sins. That's what he came to do. He came to demonstrate the zeal and the love of God. For God so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son, that if you would believe in him, you would never perish, you wouldn't die, but you would have everlasting life. That's the zeal of God at Calvary's tree, just for you. The zeal of God is what's going to bring you into eternity with him. He will not lose you. If you're like me, you lose everything. I lost the keys of my car the other day. They were in my pocket, but I didn't know where they were. I was looking all over them. They were in my pocket. You know, how many times have you lost your cell phone? Don't raise your hand, Pat. You know, can't find that cell phone. Where is it? You know, how many times you go in a parking lot? Especially around Christmas. Where did I park my car? I know it's out here someplace. I lost a bag of batteries. I brought batteries to the church, and I lost them this morning. You know, I'll lose everything. But God's not losing you. He knows where you are. Your name is engraved on his hand and on his heart for all eternity. And just in case he has a slip of the mind, if God could have such a thing, he got a book and he wrote your name in it. It's called The Lamb's Book of Life. And one day he'll be calling your name out. Rose! Where are you, Rose? He'll be looking for you. And you'll be shouting, saying, here I am, Lord. Here I am. Call you out one name at a time. The name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That is for eternity. That's the zeal of God working in our lives. God's zeal led to the proclamation of Isaiah that we read today. It led to the Christmas birth, and it led for his search for you. My father-in-law used to say something. He called God the hound of heaven. said, when the hound of heaven gets on your trail, there's no getting away. He'll hunt you down. He'll find you. And he did that. He found you. And if you think you're going to drift away and go your own way and walk away from God, you got another thing coming, beloved, because God won't let you. He'll run you down. He'll find a way to get you. You might have come to God when you were a kid and you got old. You said, oh, well, you know, I'm smarter than that now. I don't need that anymore. I've got some other things. I'm telling you what, the hound of heaven will be on your trail. You may be on your deathbed, but I promise you, before you leave this place, you're to come to the realization that God wants to be with you. That's the zeal of the Lord. I want to close with a little story that I ran across. Not one of my favorite authors. Most people love this guy. He's not one of my favorites. But he does say some things that occasionally just catch my attention. It's a guy by the name of C.S. Lewis. Most of you who are C.S. Lewis fans say, you don't like C.S. Lewis? It's not that I don't like him. He just talks in the abstract sometimes, and I don't get it. I'm a computer dude, you know, by education. I understand, you know, bits and bytes and, you know, things you can touch for the most part. But he wrote a book called The Silver Chair, and in it, we'll see the zeal of God. And I'm going to do my best to read this little short excerpt from it. Now, let me tell you what, before I read it, get your excitement and your anticipation up. Nothing like being thirsty and having a drink of water. Isn't that true? All of you thirsty now? Yeah, everybody's got a bottle that's drinking it now, see? A girl named Jill walked into an opening in the forest. She's very thirsty. And not far away, she sees a stream of cool, clear water. But instead of rushing forward to drink, she hesitates in fear, because lying there on the ground next to the stream is a huge lion named Aslan, who in Lewis's fantasy represents Jesus Christ. As she ponders what to do, he speaks. Are you thirsty? Said the lion. I'm dying of thirst, said Jill. Then drink, said the lion. Would you mind going away while I do? Jill said. The lion answered this by a look and a very low growl. And as Jill gazed at the motionless hulk, she realized that she might as well have asked the whole mountain to move aside for her convenience. The delicious, rippling noise of the stream was driving her nearly frantic. Will you promise not to do anything to me if I do come? Said Jill. I make no such promise, said the lion. Jill was so thirsty now that without noticing it, she had taken a step nearer. Do you eat little girls? She said. I have swallowed up boys and girls, women and men, kings and emperors, cities and realms, said the lion. The lion didn't say this as if he were boasting, nor as if he was sorry, nor as if he were angry. He just said it. I daren't come near and drink, said Jill. Then you will die of thirst, said the lion. Oh, dear, said Jill, coming another step nearer. I suppose I must go and look for another stream then. There is no other stream, said the lion. Lewis captures a key biblical truth in this quotation. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other stream. There is no other source of life. There is no other way to God than through him, Jesus, the Lion of Judah. But here's the catch. When we give ourselves to him, he makes no promise to not do things to us. In fact, we can be sure that he will. Yes, he will soothe our thirst. But what else he may do, no one can tell. Because he'll do it in us what he seems best for us and for the kingdom's sake. He's not a tame lion. We cannot control him. but he is good. Very, very good. And he can be trusted. He is the King of Kings, born in Bethlehem on Christmas Day. His name is Jesus. Jesus. Let's all stand. If you're here this morning and you've never been to Aslan and C.S. Lewis's fictitious account, his name is Jesus. And on Christmas Day, you can come to Jesus. It's very simple. You see, the lion, though fierce, is welcoming. And he wants us all to drink deeply of the river of life, by the tree of life, and receive Christ into our life. So what I'm going to do this Christmas morning, something I don't do all the time, just characteristically, I just don't do it. I want to lead us in a Christmas prayer. Okay? And I'm going to ask you to pray along with me. You can pray out loud so you can hear yourself. And if you believe what we pray, I'm going to tell you the end of the Christmas story when we finish praying. So let's all just pray. Just after me, just to say out loud, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I come to the stream. And I ask you to give me living water that I may never thirst again. I believe that Jesus was born in the town of Bethlehem. I believe that he grew up and that he died on Calvary's tree just for me. Right now, Lord Jesus, as best I know how, I ask you to forgive my sins, to come into my life, and watch over me all the days of my life. I believe in you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you pray that very simple little prayer, the Bible says that if you will confess with your mouth, or you will say with your mouth, that Jesus is Lord, by saying that, you're asking him into your life. That's what you're doing. You're saying that Jesus is Lord. And if you believe in your heart, it's not just empty words, but if you really believe it, as best you know how, you know, with childlike faith, you believe it, the scripture says that you will be saved. And that one day, you will see the Christmas child, not in the manger, but all of his glory, where he came to get you, bring you home. That's the Christmas story. So, if you did that today, if you prayed that prayer for the first time today, I don't get people to walk an aisle, but I do have something to ask you to do. You probably noticed by now that I have a rather strange arm. It's because it's made of plastic, all right? There's nothing but metal, plastic, and computer chips here. Before you leave, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, I want you to come tap me twice on my arm, all right? Just twice. See, a lot of people tap me once to get my attention. If you tap me twice, I'll know what you're really telling me, all right? I'm not going to hold you down and get you to buy anything or get you to join church. I'd just like to know if you did, okay? Every once in a while, I do this, and people come. I told a Christmas story at a man's house 2 years ago. There's a crowd of about 30 people, and the last count I had was somewhere between 12 and 15 of them came up to me and gave me a double tap on my arm. Because the Christmas story is very enticing. All right? So I ask you to do that. Now, what I do want to tell you is that next week, God willing, I haven't been this excited about a sermon series, and I don't know when. And I'm going to talk to you about life. Life. There are hundreds and hundreds of scriptures that speak about life. And that's all I'm going to tell you today. But I will tell you that it's going to be amazing. This was great. This is a prelude to something even better. Because I'm such a great preacher. So with that said, I'm going to dismiss you in the name of the Lord. Have a wonderful Christmas. Be blessed. Remember the wonder of Christmas this Christmas season. In 2 days, when the dawn breaks, if God gives us another day on Christmas Day, when the dawn breaks and you wake up on Christmas morning, let the wonder of the Christ child fill your heart and mind. Amen? You're dismissed in the name of the Lord. God bless you.